And I just had a few little thoughts wrote down here. I can see in all these many years that my way of writing notes hadn't improved a bit. If I die, somebody said, if you die, can I have your Bible? You can have it, but it wouldn't do you no good. I don't think nobody can interpret my notes. I write down one little word like bird, and that's a whole story about a bird, you know, on a tree right there on a fence or something, or a cow or something. And I don't never write out an illustration. I write down one thought, and then when I see that one word, then I tell that story. And or sometimes I don't write down nothing and tell stories. But sometimes I write down and then don't tell them. But, you know, it's something you never learn how to do. Preaching's something you never learn how to do, I don't believe. You just do the best you can and hope God will bless it and honor it. And God will honor it if your heart's right. God will honor it if your heart's right. And what's going on up there, fellas? Turn this one back up. I'm not using the little one. The Lord, matter of fact, God will honor anything you do if your heart is right. God's looking for us to have the right kind of a heart. So I divided up the message that went into six portions, and it would be a good thing for us to go over this morning or this evening and think about our church and also partaking of the Lord's Supper. Did you know that a man is not, or a woman, or a boy, or a girl, is not supposed to partake of the Lord's Supper if their heart's not right? I didn't say perfect. I said if you're not, to the best of your ability, got your sins confessed and everything right between you and your neighbor and you and God, then you are not to partake of the Lord's Supper. Did you hear me? I can read you in the Scripture in a few minutes where the Bible says that a man should examine himself before he partakes of the Lord's Supper. When we partake of the Lord's Supper like we're going to tonight, you've heard me explain this. We've probably got a lot of new people that don't know this. But what this is, you remember the other night when I explained about baptism? And I said, baptism does not wash your sins away. Baptism is a sign. It represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord's Supper tonight represents the body of Jesus being broken on that cross. And when he broke that bread, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. There's three different views of the Lord's Supper. There's transubstantiation. That's a big word that talking about the Catholic doctrine. There's consubstantiation, which is a Lutheran view. And then, of course, there's the Bible view. Neither one of the Lutheran or the Catholic is a Bible view. The Catholic Church teaches transubstantiation. Now, what that means is that when the Catholic priest pronounces the blessing on the little pieces of bread and the wine, in their case, we don't use wine, we use grape juice, they use fermented wine. When he pronounces the blessings on it, that a miracle takes place in the church building and those pieces of bread actually turn into the body of Jesus Christ and you are eating the body of Jesus Christ when you eat it. That's what the Catholic Church believes. When you ask a Catholic if he's a good Catholic, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, they'll say yes. But they don't mean what me and you mean. The Catholic receives Jesus as his Savior every Sunday morning in the Mass. So when a Catholic partakes of the Mass, he's receiving Jesus. Now you know and I know that's not receiving Jesus at all. You don't receive Jesus Christ in your stomach. You receive Jesus Christ in your heart. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. It's ridiculous to do it in the morning, too. It's ridiculous to do it in the morning and call it the Lord's Supper. They should call it the Lord's Breakfast. Amen. The churches that do it in the morning. This is the Lord's Supper. And that, by the way, that word supper is a good word. There ain't nothing wrong with supper. I don't care what Hollywood says. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's breakfast, dinner, and supper. Somebody's fussing at me. That Carrie come in. She's talking about fussing about somebody saying sup, you know. Kids come in and say, give me a Pepsi. Give me a sup. You know, I have kids used to say that. And she said, I can't stand here. Somebody said, I said, that's a good Bible word. There ain't nothing wrong with saying sup. Get you a sup that water back there. That's right. In the Bible, that's a word. That's a good word. Jesus said, if you open up, I will come in and what? Sup with him and he with me. So that's where we get our word supper. Now breakfast is break fast. Break fast. You break the fast. You've been fasting all night long. You ain't eaten nothing since yesterday. And you break your fast every morning. See? You understand that? And dinner is dine. Diner. Come and diner, the master calleth. Come and dine, see? And then supper is when you sup. Sup on a cup of coffee or sup on a Pepsi. And eat some biscuits and gravy and country-style steak. Green beans, corn. I don't reckon it's a sin to call it dinner, but it ain't a sin to call it supper. So this is the Lord's supper. It's not the Lord's breakfast. It's not the Lord's lunch. It's not the Lord's brunch, whatever that is. That's a new one they've come out with. It's not the Lord's snack. It's not the Lord's buffet. It is the Lord's supper. Now, everybody ought to be right with God. We always run into the problem about kids. And people say, should I let my child? Listen, you parents, talk to your children. I hope you already have this evening. And explain this to them. If a kid is saved and knows they're saved and understands, just like baptism. If they know what's going on, it's permissible. If they don't know what's going on, it's not permissible. It's not cute to let a 2- and 3-year-old, you know, just grin and smile. This is the Lord's Supper, folks. As a matter of fact, if you sit there tonight and you say, well, I'm living like a devil, I'm just going to do it anyway. The Bible says you eat and drink damnation to yourself. And for this cause, many are sick. A lot of people get sick and die. Because they partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. Now, we know that none of us are perfect, but you got to be confessed up. See? You need to be confessed up. So this is a good time for us to get confessed up. Any sin that you've been had in your life, tonight's a good time to get it out and turn from it by the grace of God. Now, look at Psalm 15. This is scripture I read on our first service we ever had. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? We still got that tape, matter of fact. I think I've got it hid somewhere. A little old Scotch tape. And I think my voice sounds a little bit different now than it did then. But he said, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, that speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. There it was first Sunday, and I was done preaching on backbiting. Nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now walking uprightly, of course, means the best your ability in your daily walk, your testimony. Your action speaks louder than your words. And then, worketh righteousness is doing good deeds. Speaketh the truth in his heart is, you don't just speak it with your mouth, but in your heart. You say, well, that's right. Are you one of these people that tries to justify everything you do is wrong? Or when you do wrong, can you say, well, I'm guilty, God. I ain't going to try to say it was right. It wasn't right. You're right. I'm wrong. If you're able to do that, God will have mercy on you. But if you're one of these people that says, I didn't really do nothing wrong. In my situation, it's different. I had a right to this. God's just going to beat you and beat you and beat you because you won't get honest with him. And then the Bible talks about backbiting not with your tongue, nor doing evil to your neighbor, taking up reproach against your neighbor. I think Bobby hit it right on the head. Usually when you gossip about somebody, you're jealous of them or something. Or they've got something you want, or they've done something that you'd like to do, or they've got a car you'd like to have, or live in a home you'd like to live in, and it makes you want to just lash out at them with their tongue. And the tongue's something you need to learn how to control. Then it talks about the vile is contemned. That means you ain't supposed to be impressed by people like Johnny Carson, or Arsenio Hall, or Michael Jackson, or something. Those people are not supposed to impress you. You're supposed to say, well, I'm sorry, bums, I feel sorry for them. See, that's the Bible view. That's the Bible view. Because they're pitiful if they're not saved. And then it says, swear to his own hurt and changeth not. That's a great verse. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we're not going to bow down and serve you gods. Even if you burn us in the fire, they're going to swear to their own hurt. Even if it kills me, this is right. See? Right's right if it cuts my head off. Wrong's wrong if it cuts my head off. Amen? That's the kind of people we ought to strive to be. Then don't put out your money to usury. That means always just cheating people to make money off of them. Matter of fact, usury means interest. Do you know that? It says don't lend somebody money wanting interest back on it. Now, that's a good legal term nowadays, and banks and loan institutions do it. But the Bible talks about a person just taking advantage of their neighbor or brother, making them pay a bunch of money back that they really don't owe them. And it talks about a person. Now listen, if we'd be really right with God before we take the Lord's Supper, then it would be a blessing. It really would. The Lord can use this thing tonight to kind of nudge you to get some sins out of your life that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they were taking the Lord's Supper here, and some of them were just having a big feast and getting about half drunk on that stuff, and another one's drunk and another is, I don't mean intoxicated, just drunken, I mean just full of it. There in that scripture, and another people were abusing the Lord's Supper, and they probably made some of them were actually getting intoxicated, and Paul told them here, he said, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? And what he was saying was, if you're just coming to fill your belly, the church ain't the place to do it. He said, you can fix you a sandwich at home. This is to represent the death of the Lord. That's where a lot of the old timers got the idea that it was wrong to have a supper at the church. He was not saying that it was wrong to have a supper or a fellowship hall. Do you know there's a lot of churches don't even believe in having fellowship hall. He was not saying that it was wrong to have a dinner at the church. He was saying was, when you come together for the Lord's Supper, it's wrong just to do it to fill your belly. That's what he was saying. Amen? I understand the scripture. That's what he was saying. He wasn't saying it was wrong for you to eat a sandwich on the church property. He was saying, if you're having the Lord's Supper, this is to represent the Lord's death, not to fill your belly with. So, he said, I'm not going to praise you in this. And then he begins to talk about the Lord, how that he, the last night of his life there, earthly life, before his crucifixion, he broke the bread, he gave the cup, and he told his disciples to eat and drink of it. But look at verse number 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he, 29, that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In a lot of churches, they have what's called closed communion. And closed communion is, you can say, only people who are members of the church are allowed to partake of the Lord's Supper. That's okay, I guess. I don't think it necessarily has to be that way. If you're a visitor here and your church isn't having service something and you're saved by the grace of God, I don't see anything in Scripture that forbids you from a receipt for taking the Lord's Supper with us. But my job is to warn you and tell you, make sure your heart's right before you do this. And if your heart's not right and you have no intention of getting right, then you just be a man tonight or be a woman and just let that thing pass right by. Good advice. That's good advice. Good time to get our sins confessed. I'm going to have Kathy to come to the piano and have her to play in just a minute. And we're going to have a little time of confession while the men are preparing in just a moment. And it's a good time to confess. I can't get up here and confess all y'all's sins. I got enough problem of my own. You're going to have to do your own confessing. I heard Charles Worley on the radio the other day, and I really was getting a kick out of his preaching. He was getting with it. And he said somewhere he's at church. Come on. He said while he's at church, he said they called on this fella to pray, and this fella got up and started praying, and he started praying for Charles, the man did. And Charles said he started confessing all Charles's sin. He said, oh God, forgive this preacher. Oh God, whatever he's done wrong, forgive him. God, everything that he's done sinful, God. And boy, he said, he's getting madder and madder and madder. He said, I want to just go over there and knock him up aside the head. He said, I'll do my own confessing. And so tonight, I'm going to do my own confessing. You're going to have to do your own confessing. Wouldn't do no good for me to get up here and say, God forgive Sam for what he done. See? He's going to have to do his own confessing. Right? I can pray for you, but you're going to have to confess your own sins to God. Wouldn't do no good for me to get up here and confess your sin. I've got my own sins to get right with God. And buddy, I've been praying this evening, and I'm going to be praying again tonight. And the Lord knows my heart tonight. There is no deliberate, willful sin in my heart tonight. I ain't said I've been perfect. Boy, you talk about far from perfect, you looking at one. But I can say tonight that I've tried to confess, and I'm not deliberately, just harboring sin in my heart. And I mean that tonight. I mean it. I'm a long way. I mean, these people put me to shame here tonight as far as living. But I'll tell you one thing tonight, God knows my heart, and I don't want to sin. I don't want nothing wrong in my life. And I, as far as I know tonight, there's nothing between me and nobody in here. If they are, you don't have to come up and tell me. Bobby said this morning about somebody running up preaching and said, oh, preacher, forgive me. I'd really rather you not even do that unless you just feel like God wants you to. Best thing to do is just confess it and get it right with God, and I'll never know the difference. Okay? Sometimes I think we do more damage than good when we run up to somebody and say, oh, I've just thought terrible things about you. Then they have bad feelings towards you. See? So unless it's just a necessary case, just confess it to God. I've already forgiven you. Forget it. Just forget about it. You say, well, Brother Danny, I feel so guilty when I'm around you because I've said things I shouldn't. There ain't no use to feel guilty. Just ask God to forgive you and forget about it. We've all done that. Anybody in here ain't done that? Anybody in here ain't had thoughts? I mean, there ain't no way y'all can listen to me preach every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and not get mad at me sometime or another. Decisions I make, the way we spend money, I know it rubs some of you wrong sometimes. But we're trying to do the best we can, and the only thing I can say is, you'll get over it. You will. You'll get over it if you want to. If you want to. You can hit a snag and stay there the rest of your life, or you can get it right with God and go on with your life and let the church roll on. One of the two. Some people get bogged down. Something happens they don't like, they just get stuck. And they never go no further than that right there. And I've seen some of them there for years, never have grown, never have no joy, because they got stuck. They got snagged like a boat going down the river and they just got hung on the rock or something. Get off of it. Get off of it. Go on down for the glory of God. You got anything? You got any somebody at work you need to apologize to? Come up here tonight. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Go in tomorrow morning and apologize to that person for blowing your testimony. Now, there again, if you didn't deliberately sin openly against them, just ask God to forgive you and forget about it. But if they know you've done it, confess it to them. I could point you ladies in here tonight that need to get right with other ladies. And I don't see how you can possibly sit and receive the Lord's Supper knowing how you feel about some of your sisters in Christ. I could point you out tonight, but I can't confess your sins. You're going to have to do it yourself. I know men in here tonight that have grudges against each other. And you need to get it out. You need to get it out. Bury that thing. Bury that thing tonight. Put it behind you. You say, well, he done me wrong. So what? You done the Lord wrong. And the Lord forgive you. Didn't he? You done the Lord wrong. And the Lord forgive you. There ain't nobody out there or in here done you as bad as you've done Jesus. And he forgives you. And he forgives me. Amen? So, Kathy, you just play us a little bit tonight. And we'll just have a little time of confession here tonight. Let's just bow our heads. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. You just confess it to the Lord right now. Say, God, I'm going to confess this thing. I'm going to bury it. And it is not going to control my life no more. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a little pet sin. Maybe, I don't know. But I know one thing. It's time to confess a little bit tonight. If God's put His finger on something in your life, just confess it to God tonight. Confess it to the Lord. You're not above it tonight. Nobody in here is above it. I'm not. You're not. You can eat and drink damnation to yourself, buddy. This is God's work. Heavenly Father, please tonight,
Our Father, please. Lord, as we prepare for this most holy occasion, Lord, we're so glad we can have shouting and praising God like we've seen a while ago. But we're also glad that we can sit and be still and be quiet and worship and honor You. Our Father, tonight we pray that You'd bless the remainder of this service. Lord, right now I confess my low-down sins. Everything that I've done to hinder Your will and Your work. God, everything that I've said, thought, wanted, didn't want, whatever I was supposed to have done that I didn't do, God Almighty, have mercy on me. God, I want it to be right. God, I want it to be right. God, I want it to be right. Lord, I want to be right with You tonight. And I'm trusting in that precious blood. Wash my sins away. And I thank You for it. Hallelujah. May Your will be done in our lives and hearts tonight. We'll praise You and thank You for it. Bless these tonight, Lord. It's praying about matters that's bothering them. Help them to bury that old sin tonight that's hindering them. A snag in their Christian life. Help them, dear God, to do it right now and determine in their heart that things are going to be different. Please, Jesus, that they can sail on, sail on, sail on. Hallelujah. We love You tonight. Help us to live like it in the days ahead. Lord, we want to thank You for that night You allowed Your body to be broken for us. Unworthy, we didn't deserve it, but we sure do thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, if you'll just sit there and meditate, you can just pray and sit there and do whatever you want to do tonight. And then we'll do like we always do. After everybody's served, we'll ask the blessing. We'll receive the bread and then the cup. You know, it must have been dark at night. That night they had the Last Supper. And the Lord told His disciples, "One of you shall betray Me." That night, I don't know if it's cold. But you think about being over there and it cold and dark. And there was Jesus who had lived 3.5 years perfect. No sin or nothing. Yet they were going to kill Him at the hands of an angry mob. The greatest event in history was getting ready to happen. The death of the Son of God. And oh, how He walked up that hill, that old cross on His back. How He stuck out them hands. Put nails in His hand. Amen. I see maybe some of you may be still praying tonight. You just help yourself. You can come to the altar if you want to. Good time to get right. Good time to get right. Pray it out. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I've prayed and prayed and prayed about this thing, but it won't go away." Well, what you do is you just claim God's forgiveness. The Lord's forgive you. You may not feel it any different, but He's forgive you if you've confessed it. And then just start acting on what He's done for you. You may not feel it for a long time, but if you confessed it and you meant it, God Almighty's forgive you. Amen. He promised if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. Sometimes that feeling don't go away for a while. But if you confessed it and you meant it, God has forgiven you.
of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for us. Lord, makes us want to fall in love all over again with you. We thank you, Lord, for every stripe, for the nail-pierced hand, for the thorn spear in your side, through the hands and feet. Our Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us. Lord, we want to represent your body being broken for us. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight for that cup that represents your blood. Most of all, thank you for the blood that was shed for us on Calvary for our sins. We know that it is impossible the blood of bulls and goats would take away sin. We know it's impossible tonight, our Father, that our good works, our church membership, or our baptism, or anything we might say or do would take away our sin. Lord, we're forever, ever, ever indebted in gratitude towards you tonight, forever and ever, for the blood that took our sins away. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you tonight because you first loved us. And you said, greater love hath no man than this. A man laid down his life for his friends. Our Father, tonight we pray that as we remember that blood that was shed for us, help us never to take it for granted, to always be thankful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And the Bible said, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. Hit a verse of that, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, again over there, Kathy, if you would. Everybody just sing. He's your best friend tonight. Let's sing that verse. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. All our sins, griefs, we bear. Amen. That same note there, that song I said that come to my mind in the airport this morning. Let's see if we can sing that. I don't know. It goes, when I'm tossed on life's sea and the waves cover me and the dark cloud won't let us. You know that song? Seems to say, be a brighter day. There you go. All gonna be over after a while. And you've got one more valley. Amen. He won. One more curve in life's road.
one more mile to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home.
Oh, think about that. I could tell you about something that happened. Let's see, when was it? The other day, the day I went down to preach somewhere. I got my feelings hurt pretty bad over something a preacher had wrote. And I know the preacher, and I got thinking about all that's happened, and me personally and all, and then it's pretty bad when you get stabbed in the back, then friends turn against you. That's pretty bad. And you know, I was feeling fine. Oh boy, I tell you, it's rough enough as it is without Christian people. Song in my mind at airport. Let's see if we can get that last verse. Can you help me out? Don't let Satan see your tears. Fear through your tears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. You must be faithful. It'll be worth it all someday. Gonna be over after a while. You believe that?
Amen.
Oh, you've got one more valley, one more hill. Amen. One more curve in life's road. One more. Maybe one more mile to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Amen. Amen. Think about walking in the gates of heaven saying, "Whew, I'm tired of carrying that thing." Amen. Then just shouting it out. Amen. Well, this has been another good day. 14 of these we've had. 14 of them. Makes you wonder how long God's mercy is going to hold out. We're starting on our 15th year. Boy, I've got some things in mind. How many of you believe, by the grace of God, I ain't never announced this this far ahead of time. Next year, 15th anniversary is a begging. It's a 14th, 13th. Well, 15th's a begging. Now, 20's a begging. 25's even a bigger one. We probably won't ever make it to them. But if the Lord don't come, next year will be our 15th anniversary, and we ought to really do something big for that, don't you think? I mean, if I'm still alive and you're still alive and the Lord don't come and get us, 15 years is a long, 15 years is a long time to be a pastor of the same church. The average pastor nowadays lasts something like, I think it's 18 months in a Baptist church. They switch pastors every 2 years. And, We've lived long enough to kill each other together. But we've also been together long enough to love each other. So 15, and I was praying up there this week and thinking about this. How many of you believe that I don't know if I should say this or not. I've been wanting to try to push for 1,500 in Sunday school on our 15th anniversary. Let's be praying about that. Let's just be praying about that. Wouldn't that be great? My goodness, that ain't but 400 and something more than what we had in November, and we wasn't even trying. So we got a whole year to work. Wouldn't that be a blessing? 1,500 on the 15th anniversary. It's not impossible. Now, no telling what might happen. We may not have 15 between now and then. But let's pray about that. And then it seems like it's been a custom down through the years, before we go, for me to make some big announcement, Usually when I got a big announcement to make, it seems like it always happens. When we start to make the camp, I made this big announcement, and we got right with God in here and started raising money. That was on our anniversary night, just like this. $30,000 in pledges to start the youth camp in the spring of 87. And then we done something else. And every year people say, "What are we going to do this year, Brother Danny?" And I guess some of you are expecting a big announcement. And I hate to disappoint you, but I ain't got no big announcements to make. I was trying to think of something.
I don't know if I got a big announcement to make. I was trying to think of something. We could, things are coming along pretty good on the store, and we need to be continuing to pray about that. Let's pray the Lord will help us get that thing wrapped up and get that property here in the next few weeks. It's the Lord's will. And stuff like that. I know one announcement I can make. How about we want to try harder this year to do what God wants us to do, to be faithful all the way, and it'll be worth it all someday. So I don't have no big announcement for you tonight, but I can tell you that I love you, love every one of you. Anytime you need me, holler. If the devil ever tells you I don't care, he's a liar. He's a liar. Sometimes it might seem like that, but it's not true. And the devil do anything he could to drive a wedge in between us to hinder you from growing spiritually. So just don't let him do it. Just don't let him do it. God will bless us for it. Well, it's been a good day. Let's have some fellowship. And you're welcome to stay around, hang around, talk as long as you want to. And you're at liberty to go. God bless you.